It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
All right. Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. Today, in yet another installment of our Supply Chain City series, we're broadcasting live high above Atlanta, Georgia, in the offices of Flexport, a digital freight forwarder and customs broker who moves freight for the world's leading brands. Looking forward to a great episode today. Let's say good morning to my talented co-host, Ben Harris, Director of Supply Chain Ecosystem with the Metro Atlanta Chamber.
Good morning, Scott. Good to be here.
Good to be here. It's been a great week, and it is good to be back here. We're missing our third amigo, Will Haraway, who typically joins us here for our Supply Chain City series. He's in North Carolina with his family, grieving the loss of a loved one. Our thoughts and prayers are with him for sure. But on a much lighter note, we've got a big show today, and we're going to introduce our guests here in just a moment. For those that are listening, be sure to check us out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. We'd love to have you subscribe to our Supply Chain Now Radio series so you don't miss anything. Of course, you can listen live by clicking on the red button, the big red button. A very technical, very formal sounding approach there. SupplyChainNowRadio.com. But we're glad that you're with us here today. So let's introduce and welcome our featured guests. First off, Matt Marshall, Senior Director and General Manager for Flexport Southeast Region. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Thanks so much for joining us here.
You bet. Thanks for hosting, and we're looking forward to getting to know you better and the Flexport organization better here momentarily. Travis Turner, Director of Business Development for Higher Dynamics. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning, Scott, and special thanks to Matt for hosting us here. Flexport facility is amazing.
Absolutely. It really is. Radio does not do this justice. But we'll maybe have to work on a video virtual tour down the road a little bit. But Travis, thanks for joining us. We know how busy both of y'all are throughout the week, and it'll be fun to sit down with you both and gain your perspective here shortly. Okay, Ben, it has been a big week for supply chain, lots of news, and as always, we try to feature some of the top things known supply chain now on the front end of each of our podcasts. So what's been on your radar lately, Ben?
Well, I know the guys at FreightWaves, I'm sure their ears are burning. Paul Page actually had them mention in one of his weekly updates about the trucking sector is about to find out whether the industry will embrace new financial tools to insulate businesses against swings in freight rates. So when you think about the volatility that we hear about, not just in the trucking industry, but really across the board, and here I'm literally in the studio looking at Matt, you know, kind of nod his head as we talk about this, but yep. There's a lot of volatility when it comes to that. And this is really the first time that we're going to see an organization actually try to tackle that problem. It's going to take a lot of stakeholders, I think, to get that off the ground, but you got to start somewhere. And I think it's definitely an ambitious goal of theirs, but I think it will eventually be well adopted by the industry. So stay tuned on, you know, what happens there. But the company is led by Craig Fuller, who's their CEO. The company name is FreightWaves again, and they are about to definitely change the industry when it comes to big commodity shippers and so forth. So stay tuned on that.
Yep. And their big event, I know we usually announce these at the end, but Transparency is coming to Atlanta in May, right?
It sure is. Actually, May the 5th through the 8th, I want to say. And it's actually 3 days this time. Big event, lots of growth stage companies when it comes to supply chain that will be there doing live demos of exactly what they do. So very exciting conference. I went last year, can personally say that it's a phenomenal event. A lot of great companies there, and the speaker list this year is just phenomenal. Yep. I kept looking back at the agenda thinking, how did they get half of these people?
I'll tell you,
I've just been very impressed with what they've put together there. It's at the Atlanta, it's at the Georgia International Convention Center, which is right by Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta Airport. Going to be a phenomenal event. I plan to go at least 2 days of that event, and I'm sure a lot of growth stage companies will be there, but a lot of VCs, a lot of venture capital firms will be there as well, and just a lot of companies who are really deeply in the supply chain industry will be there as well. So really excited that the folks in Chattanooga, they're coming down to host that event in Atlanta, and we're hoping to lock them up for years to come down here in Atlanta as well, too.
Yep, and for our listeners, that runs, and Malcolm just shot me a note, he leads our research team here at Supply Chain Now Radio, May 6th through the 8th at the Georgia International Convention Center, as you mentioned. You can learn more at freightwaves.com/transparency19. And, you know, some of the keynotes, Brad Jacobs, Chairman and CEO of XPO Logistics. You've got Gary Vaynerchuk, which is a really popular entrepreneur and across social media. A lot of different speakers. Brad Stone, author of The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon. If that is not an accurate description of the age that we live in. But anyway, big event, Transparency 19, and big thanks to the team over at Freightwaves for bringing it to Atlanta. And we hope to collaborate on some level with those folks. Okay, Ben, what else is on your radar?
We got ProMat coming up also. I will be up there the 8th and 9th.
Chicago.
It's in Chicago. That's actually the 8th all the way through the 11th. It's a four-day show. One, if not the largest supply chain shows in the Western Hemisphere, actually. I know we always talk about that with MODEX, their other show that comes here to Atlanta every other
That's
year.
That's the better show. Just kidding.
Hey,
just kidding.
You know, we're not biased. We're not biased at all. But yeah, ProMat is phenomenal. The group at MHI that they put on every year is just a great show. Anything you can think of when it comes to inside the warehouse in supply chain will be there. And I say supply chain, but also manufacturing as well. Huge show. They're expecting probably 25 to 35,000 people at that show this year. So excited to go up there. Excited to see a lot of Atlanta-based companies who will be there as well. I think I counted the other day. There will be over 40 plus Atlanta-based companies, not just operations, but base companies that will be exhibiting at the show. So really excited to see that.
You know, one of the folks, my wife, Amanda, and I, is one of our secret addictions is a show called The Profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, Marcus Lemonis.
CNBC, yeah.
Love the guy. And he's speaking at ProMat. So it is going to be a great show. It's great to have to see all the companies from the supply chain city of Atlanta venture up. That's going to be April 8th through the 11th. And you can learn more at ProMatShow.com. So it is. I was only kidding to the team over at ProMat. It's a fantastic show. MODEX is also a great show. We look forward to that next year. Ben, anything else on your radar?
Well, to finish out the week, no rest for the weary at all. So MRO Americas, which is one of the larger aviation shows, their aviation week is actually here in Atlanta, the 8th through the 12th. But so it'll actually be starting on the 8th and go through another four-day show, but that will be here in Atlanta at the Georgia World Congress Center. So I will be back for the 10th. Excited to go to that show too, see everything that's going on in aviation. So we're excited to have them host it here in Atlanta. And it's a phenomenal show. I've actually never been, but I've talked to several people who say it's a can't miss. So when it comes to aviation, a lot of supply chain implications when we talk about that. So very excited they're going to be hosting that here in the ATL.
Yep. Big industry for the Southeast, you know, between automotive and aviation. I mean, there's a lot of clustering going on. So looking forward to that show. So, you know, Supply Chain Now Radio just got back from Velocity 2019 in Orlando. They had about headed up by the folks over at Logility and their family of companies. And I sat on a panel with Carolina Malahan with Smithfield Foods, who's growing left and right. She is a VP of their supply planning division. I think they're adding alone 40 people to the to her part of the supply chain team. And Sean Willems, who is a big leader within the University of Tennessee's supply chain program, and really neat to hear. He actually was one of the keynotes talking about basically working smarter in the digital age. Really neat presentation. But big thanks to the folks down at Logility for the invite. We've got about 15 interviews we're currently processing so that we can get back out.
That's great.
Early next year, and they're really some neat stories that we were able to sit in on. So big thanks to Logility. So one last note before we dive into our first guest here. So, you know, we just 2 weeks ago, it feels like a lot longer, but the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, first year was this year. We were at the Buckhead Club. Actually, Travis and Ben and myself and about 150 of our closest friends The Supply Chain Innovation of the Year, Haverty's was recognized with that award. And we're excited to be interviewing Ben and myself, and I think Chris Barnes will be joining us. Haverty's VP of Supply Chain, Abir Thakurta, next Wednesday, April 3rd at 10 a.m. And we're going to be at Haverty's broadcasting live there. And, you know, I always think with any of these award shows, and there's so many of them, you know, celebrating, which there should be. You know, we need to recognize success as tough as it is in supply chain to make things happen. But I always enjoy kind of hearing the story behind the story. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to that, Ben, next Wednesday at 10 a.m., right?
Absolutely, yeah. And Abir's been a longtime friend, a longtime supporter of the Supply Chain Leadership Council here in Atlanta as well. So they've gone through quite a transformation there, especially in the digital age right now. So I'm really looking forward to him talking about what, you know, the kind of incremental changes that they've made there at Haverty's, and especially furniture. It's kind of a tough thing to handle sometimes. And, you know, we talk about things in retail are all very similar. They're really not. Mm-hmm. A lot of different parts of retail have very specific nuances to there. So I think I'm really looking forward to hearing what Abir has to say about that digital transformation.
Yep, I am too. And to our listeners, that will be published. I hate to keep saying the big red button, but that usually features our next interview and next podcast where you can tune in live. Of course, you can always check the replay and all the different channels. And I think that wraps up. We could dive into, you know, it was a big week in industry, a lot of things going on. We're certainly entering association or industry event season, and a lot of stuff going on.
Everybody's trying to get it in before summer here,
that's
right?
That's right. 117 degrees right around the corner.
That's right.
All right. But first up today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome in Matt Marshall, Senior Director and General Manager for Flexport. Again, our host for today's episode. If you've had, you know, if you have been ignorant and had your head in the hole somewhere, Flexport has been on the move. Speaking of innovation and digitization, this organization's really been transforming how supply chain happens, and it's a pleasure to be here with their Atlanta leader. So, Matt, good morning again.
Hey, good morning. Thanks again for coming by.
You bet. And as we shared earlier, as we got here, we got a quick nickel and dime tour of your office space here, and more companies should take note. You know, more companies should take note. It's all we can say. But so before we talk more about Flexport, tell us about yourself, Matt.
Yeah, right. So, you know, originally grew up in California, you know, did my undergrad at the University of Wisconsin.
Go Badgers.
Go Badgers. Got it. Yeah, got to give it a plug there. tough NCAA tournament. But, you know, love the Badgers. And went to business school at Penn State. So a lot of Big Ten behind me. I know I'm in SEC country down here.
That's okay.
So, you know, I'm trying. We got a lot of volunteers, a lot of Auburn Tigers in the office here. So,
A lot of Bulldogs.
I think I heard War Eagle when I walked in.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. That's, you know, games tonight. Everyone's excited. So, I've been with Flexport for 2 years, actually this week, and funny enough, being at Flexport for 2 years makes me here longer than about 800 people. So we were about 250 people when I joined, and we're now over 1,100 people and have just grown unbelievably quickly. And, you know, we think we'll be upwards around 2,000 by the end of this year. So prior to Flexport, I worked for Deloitte Consulting in their supply chain and manufacturing practice up in the Northeast. And during the years that I was there, I worked with a lot of large manufacturing companies. So food and beverage manufacturers, pharma manufacturers, logistics company like Ryder Trucks. And one of the things that I saw across all of these companies is they all struggle with supply chain visibility, every single one of them. And it was almost the larger they were and the more complex, the more nodes, the more warehouses, the more plants, whether it was company-owned plants or contract manufacturers, the worse the visibility was. And so when I came across Flexport 2 years ago at 250 people and saw the product that we were building at the time, you know, it solved a really large problem in a really large industry. And so that for me was enough to jump on board. Candidly, I wish I'd been here earlier. But it solves today a really big problem of visibility for inbound freight.
Mm. Why do you think all these companies are struggling as much as they do with supply chain visibility?
It candidly is technology. When you look at, I'll use one of my pharma clients as an example. Pharma historically has gone through acquisition after acquisition after acquisition, right? And so you've got 4, 5, 6 different ERP instances trying to monitor global trade as well as inventory positions in warehouses. It's extremely complex, and there really isn't a tool out there today that can really provide good end-to-end visibility. And when I think about end-to-end, I talk about everything from sales and ops planning all the way through end customer distribution and even reverse logistics. So that's really difficult today. And you know, today Flexport focuses on, you know, from a, you know, factory, and let's say it's in Shanghai, to you know, a warehouse here in Atlanta coming in through you know, the Port of Savannah and being railed here to Atlanta. You know, we focus really well on that portion of transportation. But you know, there's a lot more upstream and downstream that's challenging.
Matt, I was going to ask. Sorry, Scott. I was going to ask one thing. Since we're on the topic of visibility, you know, everybody talks about having, you know, 100% visibility, and is it possible, you know, end to end from, you know, sourcing all the way to the customer and then back through the supply chain? Just from your standpoint, since you've lived it, you've done it, you've been to Flexport here now too. Everybody touts 100%, but is it really possible?
So, you know, ask me that question in a couple of years, because, you know, we've got very ambitious goals here, and it's hard today. No, today the answer is no. Even if an ERP can capture all of the data visibly, it just really isn't there. And I'll give you one more example just from my previous role at Deloitte. You know, we took top supply chain executives from a pharma company up in New Jersey, and we did a one-day workshop with them, which was really just helping them to understand kind of, you know, data and what they're working with. And we took the data from their top 40 nodes, right? Their data, static data, and we put it into a Tableau dashboard, which is just a data visualization tool, right? And we use touchscreen TVs in our office there in New York, and you know, it was a full day session, and that piece alone of just taking static data and visualizing it was mind blowing and this is a multi-billion dollar company, one of the leaders in pharma globally, and they're challenged with it, right? So it's really hard, and that's why, you know, when I came across Flexport a couple of years ago and saw the problem that Flexport was trying to solve, it was just an immediate fit for me.
So working our way backwards just a little bit, let's really, so our listeners understand what Flexport does.
Yeah.
Let's describe that first.
Yeah. So Flexport, and you said digital forwarder earlier, I'm going to say modern freight forwarder. And so we use, you know, technology, physical logistics. So, you know, warehousing space, you know, and industry expertise to provide, you know, good transit times, predictable transit times, visibility and control, you know, for all of our clients. And, you know, I think just fundamentally, global trade is hard. It's very complex. It's rapidly evolving. Customer preferences are rapidly evolving. And so if you think about how Flexport physically supports global trade today, I'll just, you know, give you a real life example. So if we've got a customer in Shenzhen, let's say, you know, they're going to move a 40-foot container from a factory in Shenzhen to the port of Yantian via truck. They've got to clear export customs. It then gets on a, let's call it a Maersk Line vessel, and it departs for Savannah. And then it'll sail through Savannah, get put on rail through another carrier to Atlanta. And then a trucker will pick it up at the rail yard here in Atlanta. And let's say, you know, we drive up to Alpharetta, and we've got to clear import customs. And so as a freight forwarder, we coordinate all of those logistics. And historically, I mean, I'd probably just name like 7 different parties. You can have up to 18 different parties involved in this transaction who all have their own paper trail, right? And so historically, you're getting updates via phone call, fax, email, and it's just very disaggregated data. And so Flexport has built a technology and a software that, you know, helps to automate away some of those transaction costs, but also improves the user experience by giving them more visibility and more control and better data versus, you know, trying to search through your email and Excel sheets to try to find out, you know, where your cargo is. Because if you think about this part of the transaction, really, most of our customers want to know where it is so they can get it to their customers. And that visibility is hard.
Modern Freight Forwarder. I will remember that moving forward, because there's still, you know, I think a lot of folks will be surprised how often the fax machine may still be used in this space. Maybe some homing pigeons occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much opportunity, it sounds like, based on the value proposition that Flexport brings to the market end to end, and really making it so much easier. Because to your point, supply chain is not easy.
No.
It is not easy by any means. And maybe if you're a consumer, and we were talking about this down at Velocity this past week. The consumer knows that easy button and knows when they get it, same day, next day, what have you. But I think a lot more consumers are now connecting while they can do that with supply chain and with what makes that happen. And there's a growing appreciation for that. So, but anyway, so I think you've already touched on this a little bit, but I want to ask you anyway, because there's probably something else we're missing. What else makes Flexport different?
Yeah, you touched on it. You said, you know, consumer preferences have changed, right? You know, gone are the days of 3-week delivery windows, and it's now like 3-hour delivery windows, right? As someone that formerly used to live in New York, you know, Amazon would give you can make an order, and in New York, they'd have it to you in 2 hours. Right. And so that has fundamentally changed the customer expectation. And when you look at this industry, the overall experience from a customer perspective, and I'll give you just one example, and I'll talk a little bit about, you know, what we think makes us different. But we measure ourselves on Net Promoter Score. I think most folks are familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it asks a question of, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, would you refer somebody to Flexport, right? Or whatever company. And so, you know, if you get a 9 or a 10, that's a score of 100. If you get an 8, it's 0, and everything else is negative. And so the average score for the freight forwarding industry is negative 30. Wow. And so if you look at Flexport, we sit up around 60 consistently. And that's because of the customer experience that we're working on creating through our software. And so, you know, when you look at the things that we focus on, you know, it's really, you know, technology, infrastructure, and expertise. And that's what we think makes us different, right? And so the technology is about giving visibility and structured data back to our customers in order for them to make better decisions faster, right? Nobody, you can't update your customer if you don't know until the day a container was supposed to deliver that it's not going to be there. Mm. So that technology really enables that for us. From an infrastructure perspective, and this is, you know, where, you know, the legacy competitors have built out infrastructure over time, and something that we're continuing to focus on, but just a high frequency network that's flexible and allows our customers to, you know, we can be where our customers need us to be. And so when you think about that, you know, the warehouses that we have in Chicago, in Hong Kong, in Shenzhen, that allow us to control freight on both sides of the lane, that's a huge differentiator for us on our big lanes. And then from an expertise perspective, you know, we've got a lot of industry knowledge here within Flexport, obviously, but also looking to build capabilities in the countries in which we serve from a customs perspective. And we'll talk about this a little bit in terms of tariffs, but this is something that matters a ton right now. And having strong customs capabilities matters a lot. And I'll just, you know, give you one more you know, data point there. You know, as we were going through all these tariffs and looking at all the different lists that were coming out, we were, because of our data and the way that we structure it, we were able to identify same day which customers would be impacted by the new HTS codes and get communication out to them that day as to whether or not they would be impacted. And I think that sort of data is very powerful for our customers and allows us to, again, to just deliver that experience that you know, most customers of this industry have not had previously.
And with that data, especially timely data, it, you know, in supply chain, we expect curveballs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we hit the curveballs out of the park, to use a baseball analogy, and Travis
yeah, does opening, that very well. Opening day yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, opening day. Yeah, and we won't talk about the Braves bullpen. But, but you know, we expect to get the challenges. However, you know, with more information, we can, you know, problem solve better. We can make it, we can proactively get out ahead, and it seems like that's one of the main advantages from Flexport.
Yeah,
you know, the having this data, and you know, when we got here today, if y'all toured the facility, you see metrics, and infographics and data everywhere. Mm-hmm. So clearly what you're speaking to matches up perfectly with what the team is crunching and probably sharing, I guess, with your customers on a minute-by-minute basis maybe.
Yeah, and you know, it's, again, it's the data and visibility that allows you to make decisions that are best for your business, right? If you don't know where your cargo is, how can you make decisions on where do I need to position inventory? How do I get a delivery into Menards for one of my customers? If you don't know where it is, you can't make any decisions. So that just layers in cost and cost and cost, right? And, you know, let's say, you know, you've got a warehouse in Chicago or Indianapolis and your container's coming in through the port of LA. In a lot of cases, we're seeing customers, because of the visibility, go, well, this is actually bound for a customer on the West Coast. Mm. Why would I send it to Chicago to deconsolidate the container and then truck it back to California? That's additional time and cost. And so this sort of visibility, I think, allows our customers to make more informed and better decisions for their business.
Definitely. So tell us real quick about your presence in Atlanta and how you plan on growing here in Supply Chain City.
So we've had an office here in Atlanta for about 2 years, and historically this was the home of our emerging segment. And this is really where Flexport started 6 years ago, was serving an underserved market of, you know, think about folks or companies that, you know, ship 5 to 25 times a year. And so, you know, as we've moved upstream, we found that our technology plays really well for large upper mid-market and enterprise level companies like Georgia Pacific, you know, based here in Atlanta. You know, they have found that the visibility and data provides a lot of value for them as well. And so, you know, we've got about 110 people here in the Atlanta office today. With, as you guys saw, we've got a lot more room to grow into it. We've got room for about 240. And, you know, over, I'd say by the end of this year, we'll probably add another 40 or 50 heads, and, you know, tee up Travis here a little bit. He's been helping us get there. You know, but this is going to end up being the hub for our Southeast region here in Atlanta. Mm. I think over time we'll continue to expand our presence here in the Southeast, but this will be our home. And, you know, very excited. And as a new resident, you know, as someone that just moved to Atlanta in January, the warm welcome I've received has been unbelievable. I've lived all over the country, you know, California, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, New York. I've lived everywhere. We might have the nicest people here. You know,
we'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, our NPS score is not quite 60.
That's true.
That's good.
Listen, I'll tell you what, the thing I look at, you know, as a good barometer here, and it seems a little bit silly, I've had more conversations with my Uber and Lyft drivers here in Atlanta in the 3 months that I've lived here than in the like last 10 years of everywhere else I've lived in Uber or Lyft. I mean, the people here are just unbelievably nice.
So, so there's growth not just here in Atlanta, but there's growth company wide in a variety of other markets, right?
Yep.
And we'll touch on maybe a couple markets at the end of the, your segment here. So let's talk, and Will, really, I wish we were here. One of his favorite things to talk about, and some of the things that they're grappling with, and we all are grappling with, is tariffs and the uncertainty. So give us some perspective. What are y'all seeing?
Yeah. So I mean, there's really two really hot topics going on in the industry right now, and tariffs is one of them. It's cooled a little bit recently because we've kind of punted multiple times on when these are going to be implemented and if they are. But in Q3 and Q4, just the threat of these tariffs, we saw companies pull a very large portion of their inventory forward. And so, you know, I think in Q4 we saw year over year a 10 to 15% increase in ocean volume being imported into the U.S. from China.
I'd say it seemed like all ports, you know, kind of benefited from that. I mean, Savannah's growth has been phenomenal, but New York has gone up. L.A., Long Beach has seen record numbers from that too.
So I don't know that I would use the term benefited, right? So I think what you see is you see unbelievable congestion at the ports that we haven't seen in the past. I mean, the congestion is there every year. I think it's great for us to import more and more. I think some of the challenges that come along with it are, you know, places like Chicago, where you'd have, you know, chassis shortage, trucker shortages, and you'd see containers stacked up for months, unable to get out of the container yard. And so, you know, right now, what we're seeing is because so much inventory was pulled forward, you're seeing shipping dip a little bit in Q1. And so, you know, you've got companies that are sitting on months of inventory where typically this time of the year, they wouldn't have that.
Right.
So we're seeing, especially on the air freight market, we're seeing an impact of, you know, very similarly to what we saw the increase in Q4, kind of a 10% decrease in air freight out of places like Hong Kong, you know, year over year. Whereas we expect, you know, these industries to continue to grow as global shipping continues to grow. We expect, you know, a modest increase year over year. And we're seeing in Q1 a dip over 2018 air volumes out of Hong Kong. And that's just being driven by the extra inventory. And, you know, but there's still the threat of these tariffs not being peeled back and this last list three going from 10 to 25%. So there's a lot of uncertainty. And what you're seeing companies do with that uncertainty is you're seeing them shift manufacturing to other countries. And so I was unbelievably surprised at how quickly large companies could move out. And we saw this in Q3 and Q4 just with the threat moving to places like Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, India. And, you know, these are contract manufacturers that are being shifted very quickly, which
these are manufacturers that were manufacturing in China.
Okay. Exactly. So they basically, we've seen it happen in two ways. One, Chinese manufacturers are setting up shop in other countries, or two, local manufacturers are building out infrastructure to support the volume that's moving out of China. And so I think we will continue to see, regardless of where the tariffs end up, I don't think anybody feels comfortable that this is all going to be resolved and won't be a threat again. And so I think permanently you'll see some of this volume move to other Southeast Asian countries and the infrastructure build there.
Yeah, I think even on the automotive side as well, we've seen a couple more investments in the U.S., you know, to some surprise, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, more plants are starting to ramp up a little more here in the U.S. than they have been. Even tier one suppliers are moving closer and kind of nearshoring more so to mitigate some of that risk also. So yep. It's interesting how it's, you know, definitely the Asian market too, but also the U.S. market as well.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit here from tariffs to a certainly a connected topic. IMO 2020, we got some big changes coming in January 2020. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so just fundamentally, you know, the IMO, International Maritime Organization, has basically put some regulations in place that will require vessel operators to limit the amount of sulfur that goes in, that exists in their fuel today. And so these are set to go in January of 2020. And so when you look at the overall impact for the vessel operator industry, we're looking at potentially a $15 billion impact on this industry, which is historically very unprofitable already. And so there's really two ways that carriers can become compliant. There's a third way. It's you know, more complicated, more expensive, more long-term. But the two primary ways is use cleaner fuel, which is about 50% more expensive than current fuel that's being used. And that's basically just cleaner fuel with less sulfur. Or you can install scrubbers on these vessels. And the scrubber process is time consuming. It takes a vessel out of operation for 4 to 6 weeks to install and retrofit, also expensive. And it actually takes up capacity on an ocean vessel that, again, limits their ability to move containers around the world. And so when you look at the overall impact there, it's going to be tremendously costly for the industry to become compliant. You know, now, again, the impetus for this is to clean up the environment. So there's a very good goal here. But when you think about the impact it's having on the shipping and logistics industry, again, $15 billion is what we see the impact being. And over time, you'll see some of these very large vessels be retired. And so you'll see capacity shrink over time. And in the short term, as these container vessels are pulled out of rotation, you'll see a temporary contraction in capacity, which, you know, as an undergrad in economics, as soon as you shrink capacity, rates go up, right? Mm. And so, you know, we expect and what we're actually already seeing is for annual fixed rates for for ocean from on the Trans-Pacific lane, we're right in the middle of the contract season right now, is we're seeing that increase be in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 up over last year. And as a percentage, that's about 25% up over last year. And so we're seeing ocean carriers price in the impact of the IMO regulations already at the beginning of 2019.
And you were talking earlier in the warm-up conversation about the spot market. What are y'all?
Yeah. So, man, if I could predict the spot market, I don't know.
Where's
that
your crystal ball,
I
Matt?
Know. Yeah, I'd probably have my own hedge fund somewhere. But yeah, it's interesting. So the spot market right now is below where it was last year. You know, we again with customers pulling inventory forward, the capacity, there's a lot of excess capacity in the market right now, and so rates are down. But what's interesting is the differential between the spot market and the fixed market right now is very large because of these IMO regulations. So what's going to be interesting is later in the year when the spot market picks up in Q3 and Q4, as it generally does, it'll be interesting to see if we get back to where the spot market was in Q4 of last year. Because again, you know, Q4 18 over Q4 17, you're actually seeing almost $1,000 premium year over year there on a 40-foot high cube driven by the tariff. So I don't know that we'll see those sorts of rates again by IMO, because I think the IMO impact, because I think they're trying to price it in now. But it's something we'll all be watching very, very closely. And every one of our customers is asking about it today.
Sure. Big changes, yep. good and not so good coming up, taking place in supply chain. So what other exciting things? You know, Flexport is, it's really neat to kind of finally sit down with some Flexport leadership and really understand all the different things you're doing out in the industry. What else is exciting that you can share with our audience?
There's so many things going on. I mean, such a high growth company. I mean, again, we're almost doubling every year right now. And so in order for us to maintain that, we've got to continue to hire a lot of really smart, experienced folks to support our customers, teeing up Travis early.
Thank you.
and we have to continue to open up new offices to support those teams and those customers, right? And so we just announced a Seattle office opening, which is a great spot for us up in the PNW. We're very excited to have that spot. One of our fantastic leaders, Kevin Keough, is out there leading that office. We've just opened up a Chicago warehouse, and that for us is a fantastic opportunity to transload, to consolidate, deconsolidate. We run a 747. It's our own leased plane through Western Global. We run from Hong Kong to Chicago every week, and that gives us great control over our air product and our transit times that we think are best in class for this industry. We've just obtained our customs bond for our LA warehouse, which is fantastic for us. That again gives us the ability to control our transit times more effectively. And then lastly, I'll say you'll see some really good European expansion this year. We've just announced offices later this year to be open in the UK as well as in Copenhagen. And so we've got really strong footprints in the US as well as Asia. We've currently got a Hamburg and an Amsterdam office, but we're expanding our European footprint as a lot of our customers are moving in and out of Europe, and they want local country representation. They want to do business with folks in their country, and so that matters a lot.
Well, appreciate your time today. Thanks for hosting today's episode. Want to have you back on, especially as these developments continue throughout the year and into next year. So we'll have to get another Flexport report coming up soon.
Absolutely. Hopefully we got a lot more to report.
I think so, no doubt. And you can learn more for our customers, our audience members that may be interested in learning more about this modern freight forwarder and supply chain behemoth. You can check them out at flexport.com. So that was Matt Marshall, Senior Director and General Manager for Flexport, our host for today. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so up next, and I love how Matt spoke about Travis Turner and Hire Dynamics, because in this day and age, in this war for talent, which you think, if you think that's a cliche, then you are not grounded in reality. Unemployment's less than 4%. It is everybody's fighting for the top talent in industry and certainly in supply chain, and you've got to have great partners. And looking forward to learning more about how Hire Dynamics is partnering with Flexport. But we want to welcome in Travis Turner, Director of Business Development with Hire Dynamics. Good morning again, Travis.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks again. And another special thanks to Matt and Flexport for hosting us here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So So before we dive into Hire Dynamics, Travis, tell us more about yourself.
Yeah. So first off, I might be in trouble at the house if I don't mention my amazing wife and our new daughter here. She was born December 16th, and awesome. She's the most amazing thing that's happened to both of us. Outside of that, born and raised here in the Atlanta area, went to Georgia Southern. Go Eagles, hail Southern.
Phenomenal logistics school.
That's correct. Yeah. Very correct there, Ben. Got my start and kind of taste in supply chain with on the 3PL side, brokerage with Coyote Logistics in 2008. They were just about 2 years old at that point, a couple hundred employees, ended up moving with them to Chicago. They grew obviously to a pretty big giant in the brokerage market, purchased by UPS. Come 2014, after I'd, frozen my butt off for a couple years up in Chicago, looking to make a move back to Atlanta, and Hire Dynamics kind of fit what I was looking for. It was a good transition because they service the supply chain industry as well. And it was right place, right time, right phone call, and got back to Atlanta. And now I'm currently supporting multiple markets for Hire Dynamics, Argonaut, Jefferson, and our Alpharetta markets.
And I'm convinced you have clones, Travis, because we see you everywhere at supply chain events, manufacturing events, board meetings.
Tell my secrets, all right?
No, it's a pleasure to have you here. It's good to see you at this Atlanta Supply Chain Awards a couple weeks ago, too. So tell us more about Hire Dynamics. I mean, y'all have a great brand name out in industry, so a lot of folks in industry are already familiar. But for folks, listening, tell us about what Hire Dynamics does.
Yeah. Very proud of our brand, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Our marketing team would be happy to hear that. But generally speaking, in high level, Hire Dynamics is a commercial staffing company born and raised here in the Atlanta market. We specialize in four different business lines, which include customer service and call center work, office administrative and clerical, and then obviously, as you know, supply chain and manufacturing as well. Over the last 18 years, through a lot of organic growth and some acquisitions as well, we've grown to be about a $200 million-plus company, servicing the entire Southeast with operations in the Carolinas, Tennessee, Georgia, and some remote operations in Alabama, Mississippi, and Texas as well. We actually also just opened an office in Virginia.
Oh, congratulations. So
that was
terrific.
Cool another part. State. Martinsville.
Okay.
Yep. So it's what our chairman and founder, Dan Campbell, calls our kudzu effect. We land and expand, dominate our market, and then move to the next one closest.
Love it.
Outside of that, Matt mentioned something that's it's funny as coincidence that we're already partner companies here, but also that we both participate in Net Promoter Score and value that feedback from our clients and our talent. We are have been ranked in the top five in the Southeast for staffing, best in staffing 10 years in a row on both the client and talent side, from Interviro, now Clearly Rated, I believe is the company name now. Best places to work in all of our markets, and we're putting about 9,000 people to work a day, and over 4,000 of our folks that were on site with clients went permanent last year, something that we're
fantastic.
Something we're pretty proud of.
Absolutely.
Very impressive. So and you kind of touched on this already, at least I think we can really hear and see some differentiators in what you've already shared. But what else would you say makes Hire Dynamics different?
Yeah. So much like Matt, our Net Promoter Scores, it's our investment into our customer service, right? So we're willing to broadcast that because we're proud of it. And we know that we're delivering a service that we're okay with a third party company measuring us on. Outside of that, I spoke about the 4,000 people that we had go permanent with our clients, and something that we're very proud of. I'm sure, as you know, it's no secret, commercial staffing or any type of staffing, we make our money off of people being on billing, right? And for us to be proud of people going off billing sounds a little weird, right? Like, that doesn't make sense.
And for our listeners that may not be involved in staffing or hiring workforce, that means they're moving from a temporary role into a permanent full-time role.
Off our payroll.
Right.
No more fees.
And it moves into a great career opportunity.
Correct.
These are folks that y'all have helped. You brought to the your client. You've put them on a project or something, and they've earned their way into what could be a great lucrative career.
Correct. A measure of our success and our ability to find the right fit, right? And if you take a deeper dive into that, over 25% of our placements come from referrals. and then take a deeper dive into that. Who's doing the referral? The referring is our A players that are getting brought on permanent by our clients. So it comes full circle and pays for itself. So that kind of gives you an idea of why it's beneficial and why we're so proud of those 4,000 people that got permanent jobs, and why it's such a big differentiator for us to have a goal to find permanent placement for people. Another thing, and it's really just our vision, right, to be known for our people, our partnership, and our performance. And I'll kind of explain all three of those just briefly. Our people being who we're hiring to lead our branch operations, our leadership teams. Our hiring model is the ideal team player, and I'm sure many of you have read the book, right? Hungry, humble, and smart. And taking that a step further, we want to have those types of resources available to all of our customers and our talent and aren't spread thin. So you think of the traditional staffing office, right? 3 to 5 people are running that office if you're lucky on a local level. Well, for Hire Dynamics, we have a mega branch model where we are actually investing in anywhere from 8 to 15 people at each branch location so that our recruiters aren't spread thin over massive amounts of clients. They can provide that extra customer service level, which is apparent in our net promoter scores, right? For our partnership, it's simply that we want a partnership, we don't want to be a vendor. We want to have two-way conversations. We want to be open, honest about business goals and objectives. If we don't know them, we can't help you achieve them. And then our performance, right? It's through simple things that are different in the market, like our first day check-ins. So you have somebody starting first day on site at a client. We want to make sure that person has a good warm and fuzzy. They don't know anybody over there. We do. So we're there to check them in, make sure they have a good first experience. Also, proven recruiting process and our technology that we're investing in. A lot of times we present a product that's very much uncontrollable, but by doing some of these extra things, we're able to control the uncontrollable to a certain extent.
Keep raising the bar, is it like what I'm hearing?
Correct.
You're never sitting on your laurels.
Right. And that's, I spoke about technology, right? And some of the buzzwords right now, human cloud technology, right? So one of our investments that we dropped last year in July was Work for HD app. It's a full service mobile application. It is that kind of human cloud technology. There is with any application an adoption rate that we're working towards, and right now we've kind of exceeded our goals, and we're up to over 22,000 downloads and logins since July, which is amazing. Our ATS system probably sits on about 75,000 applicants at any given time, so we still have a ways to go, but we're making strides, and it's becoming the new normal. And what this application can do, benefits to the talent and the client, you apply from your phone, you search jobs from your phone, you receive job orders, you can view assignment details, you can get directions to the site that you're going. And then something that we heard from our talent when we were asking, what do you want to see in this? View pay stubs. Matt spoke about visibility within the supply chain. This is visibility within our market, right? So the evolution of the product will have some form of client portal, perhaps that they're able to see who's going to be on site with them. They're going to be able to manage payroll with us jointly, right? And help eliminate some of the challenges. Some quick stats here: 13 to 15%. In 2017 and 2018 of buyers of staffing services were using some form of human cloud technology.
What was that percentage?
13 to 15%.
Okay.
In 2017 and 18. Over the next 2 years, that's going to increase to about 53%.
Wow.
And we can touch on this, kind of more in the segment when we hit trends to watch on the radar, but that's definitely a big one right now.
And so if I understand you correctly, so right now you have a few early adopters that are investing, right? A 13 to 15%. It sounds like Hire Dynamics is one of them.
Correct.
And then it's about to, the rest of industry is going to catch up, and it's going to dawn on them, hey, this is what we need. This is what we need for visibility in the human capital space, right?
Correct. And current staffing companies will probably adopt their own. There's some out there already. So like you said, some early adopters that are coming up out with their own human cloud platforms, and then there's going to be companies that form that are solely based off of this mobile platform. We see the Ubers of freight, right? Ubers of anything, right? That terminology, we're going to see more and more of these companies popping up just with the advances in technology.
Yep. So our good friend Ben Harris here, when he first connected us, Travis, he mentioned that you were one of his go-tos when it comes to workforce trends and challenges and expertise and all the goings on. So we've touched on human cloud technology, which really is really neat to hear. How Higher Dynamics is kind of on the front edge of that, and we'll have to take a deeper dive. But let's talk about some other supply chain trends within the workforce, especially with competing for talent. You know, when it comes to wages and other forms of compensation, what are you seeing there?
Yeah, so let me just kind of preface the answer here with kind of where we fall within supply chain, right? What areas of supply chain are we servicing most? And that kind of falls more in distribution, e-commerce, some of the customer service and back office functions of some of the supply chain companies and within a supply chain. So servicing 3PLs, regional and local DCs, track, trace, dispatch, coordinating, those sort of positions. But what we've seen as a number one challenge is this impact of labor availability and the rise in wages. Matt spoke about capacity increasing rates, right? Lack of a capacity increases rates. Well, it's the same concept here. It's simple economics, right? Mm-hmm. Supply is low, price is high. So right now we're seeing just an increase in our wages and what it takes to get the same level of talent. So we've done some independent surveys, and kind of the top three factors that impact our recruiting and retention ability. Competitive wages, as I'm sure everyone could have guessed, is number one. But for me, I feel like that just gets people to the door, right? Mm. It's not gonna retain people if you just have competitive wages. There's a second level to that, and that's your environment and your culture, and that's something that Higher Dynamics is invested in over and over and over again for the last 18 years internally. And then third, length of assignment. So in the space that we play in, length of assignment comes into play. So it's either a permanent role or a contract to hire role. So there's opportunities for permanent placement versus a contract role, seasonality.
So in that space, especially in distribution center, distribution, in this e-commerce fulfillment, you know, all that stuff goes on. These facilities are fighting for this talent, and sometimes, and I know it's not all about wages, but you know, that's a big factor. And I like how you put it. It gets, you know, the right numbers gets people to the door, and then of course environment, culture, and length of assignment, some other factors take over. But you know, we can't pay like it's 1987 anymore, right? Unless we want to be unsuccessful.
Correct.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah. I mean, gone are the days of the $8 an hour warehouse worker. You know, I mean, you're paying minimum $12 to get good talent in just a general warehouse position. Mm. And then you move on up the ladder and within the supply chain, and you're seeing the same effects. Mm.
So when it comes to the culture in particular, are there some hallmarks that you see successful companies, you know, the culture they've established, which helped them not just retain the talent they have, but also attract new talent?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And, you know, we partner with a lot of our clients to help them in this, right? So we're a best places to work company in all markets that we service, right? And our chief people officer, part of the value added services for, you know, kind of being with Higher Dynamics, is she can lay the blueprint for any of our clients on how to become a best places to work company. And she's done that on many occasions, even with just prospects when we're just courting a company. You know, this is just a value add that we have. We're passionate about it, and we feel like it benefits us on the back end for there to be a good culture in place even before we're working with those companies, right? You know, outside of that, you know, you want to take notes on what to do,
right?
Comptoir, Flexport.
They
have what is seemingly a great culture and environment, an awesome space. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out a few people here that my team works with. Janita, Ned, Michael, and Jenna, they all gave us my entire Buckhead team gave feedback that their communication is just top notch and that they love doing business with the Flexport team. Our operations manager quoted
the perfect customer.
Oh, wow. Okay. Flexport.
Right. NPS yeah. goes up.
There yeah. you go. Right. Hey, make that? Sure you send her that survey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Tell you what, right. And well. one more quote that I had from them on that was just very inclusive to mm-hmm. to the talent, and which helps us do our job better. So many times we find that in a temporary role or a contract to hire role, companies are segmenting, you know, those candidates and those employees from their full-time folks. They don't get the same amenities, the same benefits, mm-hmm. the same, you know, happy hours, the same ice cream parties, the same t-shirts. I mean, simple little things. And every time you segment that group of folks, you increase your turnover. Mm.
Yeah, inclusion matters a ton to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that we focus on a lot, and I would say a good portion of my time here at Flexport is focused on creating culture, creating inclusion. I'll share one 20-second story, and I'll let you go. But you know, about a week and a half ago was International Women's Day. This is an industry that is historically not dominated by women. You don't have a lot
of challenges there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And so we celebrated that here in the office. We had a number of our folks wear a shirt that just said feminist on it. One of our operations associates ordered them for the office. And I happened to have a meeting with a guy that, you know, Ben, very, very well. And I had lunch with him, and I had my shirt on, and he sent me an email afterwards and said, I would be remiss not to tell you that I was unbelievably impressed by the shirts you guys were wearing, because you're changing the industry not only from a technology perspective, but from a diversity and inclusion, and you're changing it in a much broader and bigger way. And so that's something that, from a talent perspective, matters so much to us.
Absolutely. I love hearing that, too, because that's one of the Metro Atlanta Chamber's biggest missions is equity and inclusion mm-hmm. here in Atlanta. And I think Atlanta is already doing wonderful things in that area because we have such a vibrant, diverse community. But I think there's a lot more potential there also in everything that we do, every initiative that we mm-hmm. take on, to always think about equity and inclusion when, mm-hmm. when we do those things.
It's got to be better than we are today, fundamentally.
And I want to kind of piggyback off of that. We were talking about competing for leading talent, right? And you said, you know, it's a movement, right? It's a social movement. You know, advice to any company out there looking to retain and attract talent is to invest heavily in your culture and your environment, right? And that's not just to put it on paper, right? Get the right leadership in place that is going to live that culture, implement and invest in their people as well. Because millennials, if they haven't topped the charts yet, are going to be our number one labor source, right? And, you know, the studies show that they're looking for more than just a paycheck. That's, you know, right. They're looking to be involved in some type of social movement, charitable organization, et cetera. They're looking to impact change within their community, within the world, while they're working. And, you know, one of our quick plug here for Hire Dynamics that we're proud of because we launched it this week is our Sherita Jackson Garner Scholarship. So Sherita Jackson Garner is a employee of Hire Dynamics that unfortunately passed suddenly last year from our Nashville team. And she was heavily involved and passionate about talent experience, talent advancement, and helping people to advance their careers, whether or not they had the financial means to do so. Mm. So using that kind of as a platform, we've started the scholarship fund. And our goal is to reach $10,000 here shortly in that fund. And then we're going to, whether it's quarterly, annually, we haven't worked those details out yet, but we'll have submission of different talent that come through our doors that are working for our clients that are special, that want to advance their careers, but might not have the financial means to do so. And we want to make sure that they get the training that they need and the additional career growth that they're looking for.
Love it. And we'll have you back as well, because I think talent in this day and age, we could talk for hours and weeks on end about the challenges, about the best practices, and clearly Hire Dynamics is a thought leader in this space. So real quick, Travis, you've got a big event coming up at Hire Dynamics. Tell us
more
about that.
Correct. So it's our signature annual Contact Center Executive Forum. It's May 8th. There'll be more details coming out. I think our marketing team was meeting on that this week to kind of finalize our panelists and discussion topics and that sort of thing. But it's an annual event for us. We have over 200 people that come out for the event in the contact center space, which has recently kind of overlapped into supply chain mm-hmm. because of the increase in need for visibility. So track, trace, and dispatch departments are popping up everywhere. We service a lot of them. The coordinating of freight, some of the positions that we're helping Flexport with right now, global freight coordinators. So it's a good kind of myriad of different of two of our business lines that kind of come together there. But more information on that, I'll make sure that you, Scott, has, you know, you have some links and different things like that to post. But you can find more on HireDynamics.com. We have a blog post as well on there with different content around our business lines. And then the traditional social, LinkedIn, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, Instagram.
And for our listeners, that's Hire as in H-I-R-E Dynamics.com. Hire Dynamics.
There,
yeah.
Huh?
But great company. Travis Turner, Director of Business Development with Hire Dynamics. Really appreciate you carving some time out and sitting with us here today. And it's neat to, we don't always have a couple of folks already doing business together kind of sit down. What I heard is a lot of overlap in cultural and in kind of world perspective, global perspective, and kind of kindred spirits there from a DNA standpoint. So that was really neat to hear and walk through. So Ben, we've got some upcoming events we want to share with our audience. I will go first and give you a little time to think about if there's anything else that we're missing. There's so much going on right now. Upcoming APIX classes at Georgia Tech Supply Chain Logistics Institute. If you're looking to get a leading supply chain certification, whether CSCP or CLTD, our next boot camps are coming up June 24th. Our friends over at Georgia Tech. E-commerce Operations Summit. Travis touched on e-commerce. White hot space. It can, you know, foreseeable growth for as far as the eye can see. That e-commerce operations summit takes place in Columbus, Ohio, April 9th through the 11th. You've got all kinds of speakers, plant tours, you name it, focused in on that e-commerce space. Our listeners can receive a $150 discount by using promo code TAL150 during registration. We're proud to be a media partner, and you can learn more about that event at operationssummit.com. In May, you've got the Association for Manufacturing Excellence, AME, coming to Atlanta for its 2019 Lean Summit. Speakers, best practice sharing, networking, all dialed in on the world of manufacturing. We're pleased to serve as a partner for that event. We're broadcasting live the first evening. You can learn more at AME.org. And then probably one of the bigger projects on our plate that our team here is digesting is EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit coming to Atlanta June 10th through the 12th. And registration, Ben, is over 800 senior executives mm-hmm. at this event and more. Leading lineup of speakers from Land O'Lakes, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, UPS, you name it, a lot of C-level folks. We're broadcasting live throughout those 2 days. You can check out EFT.com for additional details. Or on any of these events, you can shoot us a note if you can't find details. Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at supplychainnowradio.com, and we will get you the links and the information. Ben, great show today. Before we thank our guests and sign off, what's on your radar event-wise?
You know, for the most part, I think we covered it more towards the beginning of the show, but I did want to say I'm really looking forward to Supply Chain 101 coming up soon. I am very excited about it. We'll be down in Henry County, from what I understand, May 1st and 2nd.
That's right. Unity Grove Elementary School. We've done a lot of the Supply Chain 101 where we're taking teams of supply chain professionals into elementary schools to talk to third, fourth, and fifth graders. And unfortunately, we most of our penetration and partnerships have been north of the city. And we really are trying to take a concerted effort to take more teams down into, you know, South Atlanta. And you know, we're talking about planting seeds of awareness with third graders. And if you think they learn something, we are the ones that learn. These kids gather, they understand what we're saying, and in 10 minutes are telling us how to run our supply chains better.
They're like sponges. They just soak it up. And I do, Scott, I'm so glad that you mentioned South Atlanta, because as a board member of the Aerotropolis Alliance, I would love to help expand that program more into the schools there in South Atlanta as well. So let's definitely talk more about that also.
Absolutely. And if you're interested, our next upcoming sessions of that are May 1st and 2nd. You can shoot us a note, and we'll get you involved. We need volunteers. We usually take about anywhere from 5 to 10 volunteers into each school. And again, there is to kind of sit down and be on the student teams and kind of not be a cheerleader, but kind of be a mini mentor in an hour. You know, these kids need encouragement. They need to know that not only should they be heard, but they need to be heard. We need to hear their ideas and their questions. And again, you know, be ambassadors for our industry. You know, I think we talk about this all the time, but I'm gonna say it again. You know, I've served the in the manufacturing space or served the industry for most of my career, and I went through, all the way through college without ever having set foot in a plant. And no one sat me down to talk about all the careers across the end-to-end supply chain. And you know, what we do isn't a silver bullet, but it's planting these seeds, showing a couple of ideas of how companies are using supply chain talent and the lucrative careers that are associated with that. So thanks for mentioning that. Appreciate you coming out to the next one. And for our listeners, send us a note if you'd like to be involved. Okay. What a great show. So first off, I want to say a big thanks to our guest today, Matt Marshall, Senior Director and General Manager for Flexport Southeast Region, our host today. Matt, thanks again for taking time.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me to be a participant and also joining us here in the Flexport office today.
Yeah, thanks for walking us through some of those industry challenges, and we'll reach back out and get an update soon. And Travis Turner, speaking on the hot topic of talent, which we can't get enough spotlight on, Director of Business Development with Hire Dynamics. Travis, thanks for taking time out and sharing some of the things in that important space.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I've enjoyed it, and you know, Matt's been great. And if you're looking to move your freight, I'd trust him with mine. So,
no bigger endorsement. I love that. So, to our listeners, check us out. Replays of interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us, of course, iTunes, SoundCloud, all of the leading sites where podcasts can be found. On behalf of Ben, Will Haraway, the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.